I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Children, keep in the middle of the road. Children, keep in the middle of the road.
Don't you look
to the right.
Don't you look
to the left. Just keep in the middle of the road.
In the middle of the road.
Children, keep in the middle of the road. Children, keep in the middle of the road.
Don't you look
to the right.
Left,
just keep in the middle of the road, in the middle of the road, in the middle of the road.
I hear those angels calling
loud,
keep in the middle of the road,
keep in the middle of the road.
Waiting there in a great big crowd,
keep in the middle of the road.
I can see them standing round the big white gate.
We must travel along before it gets too late.
'Cause it ain't no use for to sit down and wait.
Just keep in the middle of the road. Then children, keep in the middle of the road. Children, keep in the middle of the road.
Don't you look
to the right.
Don't you look
to the left. Just keep in the middle of the road, in the middle of the road, in the middle of the road.
I ain't got time for to stop and
talk. Keep in the middle of the road,
keep in the middle,
'cause the road is rough and it's hard for to
walk. Keep in the middle of the road.
I'll fix my eye on the golden stair, and I'll keep on a go until I get there.
'Cause my head am bound that crown for to wear.
Just keep in the middle of the road. Then children, keep in the middle of the road. Children, keep in the middle of the road.
Don't you look
to the right.
Don't
left, just keep in the middle of the road, in the middle of the road, in the middle of the road. When your feet get tired and your song don't sing, don't look at the world full of sinful things. Don't lay down in the road for to die. Put on your wings and get up and fly.
Keep in the middle
then
of the
children,
road.
Keep in the middle of the road, in the middle of the road.
Thank you, Voice of Praise. And thank you, my friend, for joining me today for the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your host, and I've been looking forward to our time together. We'll be looking into God's Word and learning how we can live in a way that pleases Him. Jesus said in the Gospels that the road to eternal life is narrow. In comparison to the multitudes on the broad way to destruction, there are only a few who will find it. And Jesus also made it clear that starting out on the narrow road is no guarantee of staying the course. If it's impossible to get off the narrow road once you've started, then there's no reason for Jesus' warning in Luke 9:62. He said, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of heaven." So what's the key to remaining on the narrow road? It's relationship. Those whom you truly love, you have a desire to please. You don't do things to intentionally irritate them or to make them look bad in the eyes of others. No, instead, you do just the opposite. You do things they appreciate. You try to be a blessing to them. And if you mess up, then they forgive you, and you do the same for them. Your relationship with Jesus should be handled much in the same way. In John 15, verses 9 to 11, Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Do you live in a way that first and foremost pleases you, or in a way that pleases the Lord Jesus? You know, the answer to that question says a lot about your relationship. The choir expresses my testimony as they sing. Thank you, Altar Praise Chorale. My friend, I hope that song expresses the desire of your heart. If it does, I know that God will bless you, because Jesus said, "Whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Praise God. Just a few days ago, I returned from leading a Bible teaching team to the country of Nepal. We had the privilege of sharing God's Word in a 3-week Bible school. There were about 50 students who attended the classes, and the student body was just about evenly divided between men and women. We had 3 classes each day. The first class was the Book of James, which I taught. The second class was 1st and 2nd Peter, taught by Craig Schwarzentruber, a pastor from Montana. And then the third class, which was held after lunch, was on marriage and the family. It was taught by Paul Fretz, a retired schoolteacher from South Central Pennsylvania. Each of those classes lasted about 90 minutes, and the students sat in typical Asian fashion on the floor of the meeting room. They were very attentive, and they were diligent in taking notes. For many of them, this was their first opportunity to participate in this kind of Bible training, and it was a very rewarding time for them and for us. Our goal during this time was not only to impart biblical knowledge, but to serve as role models of godly character. We wanted the students to learn how to live out the commands of Scripture. Not to earn their salvation, of course not, but to demonstrate the genuineness of their relationship with the Lord. One of the comments given by the students was, "We can see that you live what you teach." May God be glorified, and may the church in Nepal be strengthened through this experience. Now let's pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us your Word to show us how to live right. Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit into our lives to make it possible for us to live in a way that is pleasing to you. And now, Father, as Dr. Yoder comes with the teaching of your Word, open our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us today. May each of us be willing to put our lives before the mirror of your Word, and to make any necessary changes you reveal to us. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Someone has described life as a small veil between two great peaks of eternity. Oh, the thought is overwhelming. We raise the question, what shall we do with life if it is such a small part of the total? Live? We do. But the question is how? How do we live? One of our great American poets wrote, life is real, life is earnest, and the grave is not its goal. Dust thou art, to dust returneth, was not spoken of the soul. How true, yes, how true. Life is more than our mortal existence. And then someone else said, you can't end right if you don't start right. And that's true, too. If you're going to come out where you want to come out, then you have to start where it will lead you to your desired end. The whole question, then, is how to live right. I want to help you live right, so I invite you to open your Bible to 1 Peter 4, 1-6. That's 1 Peter 4, 1-6. Listen and follow in your Bible as I read the Holy Scriptures. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Now, friend, let me give you some basic guidelines from the Apostle Peter to help you live right. The first guideline is, choose your goal. Peter instructs us to look unto Christ. What did he do? He suffered for us in the flesh. He suffered in the flesh for us. Then Peter says, we should arm ourselves with the same mind. Clothe yourself with the mind of Jesus our Lord. His suffering was for others. Your life should be poured out, as it were, for others. So look to Christ as you choose your goal, and leave off the works of the flesh. Learn how to deny the flesh and its lust. This is a part of your choice of goals. I know that takes willpower. That takes significant willpower, because we are inclined to cater to the lust of the flesh. But Peter admonishes us to leave off the things of the flesh. The story is told us of some years back, when our transportation was by horse flesh, that a man who had been a drunkard came to know Jesus Christ. During his drunken life, always when he rode into town, he hitched his horse in front of the saloon, so it would be handy for him. After he was converted, he continued to hitch his horse in front of the saloon habitually. His pastor came along one day and saw him hitching his horse in front of the saloon, and said to him, my dear brother, it would be wise for you to hitch your horse somewhere else. He was helping this man to leave off the flesh and its lust. I urge that upon you. Do not go where the temptations were so strong before. Avoid them. And the Apostle Peter says, in choosing your goal, you should live to the will of God. Notice the last part of that second verse, but to the will of God. How are you going to do that? You must focus on His will as it is explained in the Bible, the Holy Book of God. I remember some years ago during my teaching career, a young man came back to the Lord and really had a definite and deepening experience with Christ. And as we were sharing together, he said, you know, all I want to do now is to do the will of God. I want to do what Jesus wants me to do. I said, well, Ronnie, how are you going to find out what that is? And he repeated, I want to do what Jesus wants me to do. And I said, how are you going to find out what that is, Ronnie? Then I explained, you will find out what Jesus wants you to do in the Holy Book of God. Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. when he faced the cross and prayed to his Heavenly Father. And you know, friend, conversion anyway means a right about face. You are going in the opposite direction from what you used to go, and therefore it is important for you to choose your goal. The second guideline I bring to you from Peter is, stand your ground. Now the apostle says, it's enough that in time past you lived like you did. So in order to stand your ground, you must adopt a new lifestyle. The Christian life is different. It not only ought to be different, it is different. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians in his second letter, chapter 5, verse 17, tells us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Yes, praise God. When one becomes a Christian, the life he lives is different than what he did before. It's enough to have wrought the will of the Gentiles in time past, the Apostle Peter says. Mrs. Yoder and I have traveled in some 30 countries of the world, and we have worshipped and fellowshipped with Christians in other cultures and other lands, and I have seen it clearly that Christians in other lands live their Christian lives where they are. So I've come up with this, listen. Christianity accepts no culture. It creates one. I'll repeat that. Christianity accepts no culture. It creates one. So regardless of where he may be, that person must live the Christian life in the context where he is, and it will be different than he lived before. He will adopt a new lifestyle. Then the Apostle Peter goes on to say what one should do in adopting this new lifestyle. He should abandon the old ways. Now, let me explain these words. There are six of them that the Apostle Peter uses, and he calls them first, lasciviousness. That means unbridled lust. Just living it up, doing whatever the flesh desires. Then, lust. This is a longing for forbidden things, just drooling, as it were, to do what is wrong or forbidden. Excessive wine. In the Greek New Testament, that means drunken carousings. Revelings is equally bad. It means feasts and late-night drinking parties. Banquetings has in it also the idea of carousing. And finally, abominable idolatries. That means lawless worshipping of idols. The Apostle Peter concentrates on these old ways and says to us, abandon them. Don't walk in them anymore. And then to stand your ground, you must be willing to accept criticism, because those people with whom you may have fellowshipped or hobnobbed, we might say, are going to think it awfully strange of you. Peter said so. They think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot. Or they may come to you and say, hey, what's the matter with you? Got religion? But you have to be prepared for that. You might tell them, no, religion's got me. You have to be prepared to accept criticism, because those people will not understand what you're doing, and they will speak evil of you. But stand your ground. Stand your ground. And the third guideline is, face your judge. The apostle said, judgment is sure. Everybody's going to give an account to the judge. The certainty of judgment cannot be debated. For example, the Apostle Paul, writing in Romans 14:12, says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And again in Hebrews 9:27, the Scripture says, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment. So the certainty of judgment cannot be debated. You must face that reality, and then you must also face the fact that everybody is going to be there. The compass includes everybody, because the Apostle Peter says, who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the living and the dead. Our King James Version says the quick and the dead. That means the living, the people who are alive. So everybody is included in this. There is no escape. Nobody can hide or escape. And then the content of the judgment is the gospel. Did you notice that? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead. So the gospel will be the basis upon which God will judge everybody. Now let me give you a reference that you can look up and read. It's Romans 2:11-16. Romans 2:11-16. The last verse, the 16th verse of Romans 2, puts it exactly like I've been saying to you, and I quote it. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Oh, my friend, to live right you must be willing to face your judge now because you will face him eventually. So I urge you to follow these guidelines that the Apostle Peter set before us. Choose your goal. Look to Christ. Stand your ground. Don't go back to the old ways. Face your judge. Stake your future on the gospel. Yes, amen. Now let's pray. Merciful Heavenly Father, gracious art thou, plenteous in mercy. We rejoice, dear Lord, to know that thou hast given us all possibilities and provided for us that we can live right. And I pray, Lord, bless my friend and me, that as we reflect on these guidelines from the Apostle Peter and appropriate them and apply them to our hearts, that we will have the assurance that we can live right. Help us to choose our goals. Help us to stand our ground. Help us to face our judge and live right. I pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
You said if I believe, then you would save me. And long ago I looked to you and lived. But as I go from day to day, I so often lose my way. I'm ungrateful for everything you give. But I know that you have mercy on the fallen, and you'll stay behind when I lose the praise. So with my faith and trust in you and your love to see me through, I'll never fall beyond the reach of grace. Lord, I miss the mark so many times. I slip and fall out of line. Though I aim to please, I never cease to miss your mark for my life. Lord, I want to do more than try with all I have to lift you high. Lord, I want to do my part. I want to hit the mark. With you right here inside of me, I don't have to fall. Your Spirit's here to guide me when I give to you. So many times I slip and fall out of line. Though I aim to please, I never cease to miss your mark for my life. Lord, I want to do more than try with all I have to lift you high. Lord, I want to do my part. I want to hit the mark. Lord, I miss the mark so many times. I slip and fall out of line. Though I aim to please, I never cease to miss your mark for my life. Lord, I want to do more than try with all I have to lift you high. Lord, I want to do my part. I want to hit the mark with you here in my heart. I know I'll hit the mark. Ooh.
Thank you, a cappella harmony. I join you in making it my goal to hit the mark. And friend, I trust that's your desire too. I hope today's program has encouraged you to live a righteous life, to stand your ground in the face of opposition from the world, and perhaps even from some professing Christians. If you're making that commitment to stand, won't you let us know? That way, we can encourage each other to be faithful in our walk with the Lord. You can do this in a couple of ways. The easiest way is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org, or you can call us toll-free at 1-866-960-0292, or you can write to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. If you'd like to listen to this teaching again, you can visit our website, heraldsofhope.org. Today's teaching and many other programs are archived on that site. You can visit anytime it's convenient for you. Or you can request a CD copy of this program too. You can reach us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. Write to The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call our office toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. If you'd like a printed copy of this teaching, we recently had this whole series reprinted in an attractive paperback book. The teaching you heard today, as well as all the messages in this series, are contained in the book titled Sojourners in Faith. To request your copy, send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org or call our office toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. Now, if you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number 1-866-960-0292. We do depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. It's been great to have you along for the program today, friend. I look forward to our being together again next week. Lord willing, we'll continue in our study of 1 Peter with a message titled, How to Evaluate Life. Now, evaluation calls for an objective standard, so I hope you'll join me next week to learn what that standard is. And until we meet again,
your word in heart, O God, help me to be. May I devote my life wholly to Thee. Wash Thou my wayward feet, guide me with counsel sweet.